Bowers, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Good evening and welcome to our program. Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach from Belmar Academy, is going to be talking with us in this first hour about Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. Why? Because today, tape was released of Greg Williams in the locker room prior to the New Orleans-San Francisco 49er playoff game, in which he was heard to tell his players, and this is why the Saints were fined. Greg Williams is no longer coaching with the team. I believe he's been he's moved on to actually a better job. I think he's gotten a head coaching job someplace. But keep in mind, the Saints lost the game to the 49ers. But he's heard saying in the locker room to make Frank Gore run sideways, beat on his head, basically, lay out Alex Smith, go right after the ACL, which is a tendon that is injured with athletes, of one of the players, I forget who, one of the wide receivers, go after Vernon Davis, injure people, hit them when they're out of bounds, and just basically telling the players to physically, you know, this is why the Saints were singled out by the National Football League, this bounty mentality. And by bounty, quite literally, players are awarded money based upon who it is they're able to knock out of the football game. So it's you know, it seems to go above and beyond certainly the rules and the spirit of sportsmanship, even though it is a professional game. And of course, that in and of itself is a whole different thing. Vernon Dozier is joining us. He's a football coach, long-standing football coach. At Belmar Academy, and you've won a lot of games, Vernon, and you coached at the college level. Tell me what you think of this tape. Did you hear it?
Yeah, Phil, I did hear it. I've heard, to be honest with you, I've heard similar things in locker rooms down through the years when I coached at college ball. It's not an unusual thing to hear. I think that to hear it broadcast on the radio, as I did.
By the way, folks, we're going to have the tape and we're going to play you excerpts of it. As you might well imagine, it's a little.
There's some four-letter words, I think.
Yeah, it's got some language, so we're cleaning that up a little bit. But I interrupted you, Vernon. You're talking about having heard this kind of thing.
Well, you hear coaches say things. Try to encourage their players to, you know, really, as we say in the business, stick someone, you know, and that's to lay people out. I mean, football's a contact game. There's no question it's a contact game.
What did you think when you hear? What do you think when you hear a coach talking like that?
Well, you might be talking to the wrong guy. I don't personally, at the professional level, I don't personally disapprove. I don't want anyone to think that I believe that harming or injuring another human being is the way to win in a sporting contest. But you're playing for thousands and thousands, if not millions of dollars. And I'll give you an example, Phil. I played minor league baseball, as you know, for a very brief time. And I played catcher. I know that my job is a professional job. My job is to play as well as I can to keep the other team from winning the game. And as a catcher, I fielded a bunt during a particular play where the runner was running down the line to first base.
Right.
The only way that I was going to get that ball to the first baseman was to throw that ball on a line, and it just so happened that runner's head was right in the way. Now, what I'm saying is this. If I throw the ball around him, the first baseman doesn't have that much of a chance to catch it. So I took the ball, and Coach asked me later, what was I doing? I said, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I said, he's in my way. And I threw that ball, and I hit him right in the head. Now, he was with that the throw. I mean, he's awarded the base.
Right.
But I can tell you, I put him out of the game. Now,
all right, so you took the ball and you threw it right at his head.
Yes, if I tried to throw in any other way, I'm trying to hit the first baseman and the guy's in the way. That's how you play the pro game. That's how you play the pro game. My whole career as a baseball player didn't go very far. I was only a minor league player, but I'll tell you, I played for keeps. I played for keeps. I don't know about anybody else. But that's what I do. When that guy was in the way, I took that baseball in my right hand, and I threw it as hard as I could. I tried to throw it through his head. I mean, that's generally what you're trying to do. Now, did I know I was going to hurt him? There's a very good chance he was going to get hurt, but then again, he's running down the first base line. I'm the catcher. I have fielded this thing.
Well, not to judge your play, I've seen some catchers take the ball on a bunt like that.
Now, don't start telling me what other catchers would do, okay?
Well, for the purpose of my audience, I'd like to just describe, they'll take the ball, they'll take a step to the left to try to get an angle on a throw.
If you're a right-hander and you take a step to the left, you still got this guy in your way. See, what you're doing is you're trying to... You're trying to give the runner. Basically, what you want to do is give the runner the base. I'm not trying to.
No, I'm not trying to give the runner the base. I'm trying to get you to throw the guy out without hitting him. You know, he was awarded the base.
He was awarded the base, but he was knocked out of the game. You understand what I'm saying?
So, all right. Well, what's more valuable at that particular time? What if there was a run to score on from third?
Then I wouldn't be throwing a first. Wow. I wouldn't be throwing it first.
All right, okay, that's a good point. All right, I'm talking here with Vernon. I don't want to talk about baseball. We're talking about football.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, but I'm just trying to tell you that... Let me say this, Phil.
Let me give our phone number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier, we're talking about Greg Williams, the fired defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints, the tape of his, one of the tapes of him telling his players to injure people from just before the San Francisco 49er game was released today, and we listened to a little bit of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear a lot of it, but I want to say this. I'm a high school football coach, and I like working with the kids. That having been said, I can tell you that it's frustrating for me because there are times when I want to tell my players, I want to tell them how it's done, you know. I want to tell them how it's done. I want to give them the facts of life.
Well, in terms of what Mr. Williams was saying.
Look, let me just tell you this. I can't do it because they're high school players, and I would have the parents, I would have the school. There'd be no end to what I'd have to deal with. But there are times when I got to bite my tongue in the locker room. There are times when I'm standing there and I'm looking at them, and I want to tell them, you go out there, and I want you to take someone's knee out. If we're down to it, and there's no other choice... go for a knee.
And that means that some kid is going to have a serious injury that could end his career.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. I don't bring it up because I get parents like you who get overly dramatic.
You don't think that's overly dramatic? You think that's overly dramatic when I say that you hit a kid's knee and that could end not only his football career in high school, but he won't be able to play for the rest of his life.
Yes, that is overly dramatic. That is over. That's the first thing that people will tell you when they don't want you to play football 300%. It's what I call a 300%, and it's what we call it at Belmar. It's called a Coach Dozier's 300%. Now, as I leave campus every day, Phil, I look off to my left, and I see a sign that was erected 2 years ago. It says Dozier Stadium. Okay?
It's named after you.
That's exactly what it's named after. It's named after me because I've won 3 division titles. And I've won 10 league championships. And we've sent probably a dozen players on to major college programs. And of those, we've probably sent a dozen players over the last 6 or 7 years on to the professional football. That's the kind of coach I am.
But, Coach, you're saying...
Hold on now. And to be that kind of a coach... you got to be willing to look them in the eye and tell them, I want you to go out there, and if it means that you've got to knock someone unconscious, but I can't do it. I've got to bite my tongue.
Why do you coach at the high school level?
I coach at the high school level I started out doing it as a favor for Father Jim, who had started as the principal here, and I just got hooked into it. I enjoyed it. I was coaching college.
But why did you not coach at the professional level?
I decided that I don't personally think professional football is ready for a lot of the things that I want to do.
Okay.
There's a lot of things I want to do. There's a lot of innovations that I've thought about over the years, and things that, quite frankly, would be revolutionary. And I just don't think college professional football right now is at a level that I personally would find acceptable to me. So I'm able to do my thing at the high school level. I can shape young minds. I can get them to. We've got a high school player. He'll do anything you tell him to do, and you can get them just about to do anything. But I don't want to counsel them to
play the style of football that Greg Williams plays.
I wish I could, Phil.
You really think that high school football players, this is a way for them to play?
I'm telling you, it's the real world. It's the real world, and I think what happened to Coach Williams was a damn shame because he's a great coach. I think his players, if you want to be honest, his players got scared. They didn't do what he asked them to do. They got, if you want to use the word sissy, whatever.
Well, what happened was is he got fined, and the football team got in trouble, and he got in trouble, and he's gone.
Well, I know what the commissioner of football says, but, you know.
Well, and those are the rules of the game, you know.
They may be the rules of the game, Phil, but it's not football. Okay, that's what I coach. I don't know about anybody else.
All right, we're talking here with Vernon Dozier. So you think that kind of ruthless, those kinds of ruthless tactics?
I think they are needed. When the money is on the line and the chips are down, they're absolutely needed, yeah.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, the number here with Coach Vernon Dozier on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the Coach Greg Williams of the New Orleans Saints and the tape that has been made public of him telling his players to go after knees, knock people unconscious, go after ACL, go after injuries, really bang on people. And obviously he was fine. The team was fine. He lost his job. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And we've got some of this audio, Vernon, if you want to hear it. As you've said, you've heard the stuff before, right?
I've heard these tapes before, yeah. And
now, before we listen to this, I wanted to get back to just the one comment you made. You don't like to see players get injured, I take it.
No, nobody likes to see a player get injured. But, Phil, here's the thing. When you're playing football and you're playing for all the marbles, then you have to counsel your players to do the very best they can. And to do the very best they can, unfortunately, means they're going to have to hit someone, and they're going to have to hit someone and make it stick, make it hurt. Now, the biggest problem I've got is I can't tell my players that because they're going to sort of betray the locker room. They're going to run off and tell their mom or their dad or, you know,
wouldn't you expect them to do that?
Yes, I would expect them to have communication with their parents, but what's in the locker room of a football team, that is a very sacred trust.
So in other words, what you tell the players, they can't tell their parents.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying when I tell the players certain things, I think they have to be very careful in how they explain it to their parents, because I get these parents coming up to me, talking to me, did you this, that, and I have to, as I've often said to you, I've got to be very careful with what I say, because most of the time you just want to tell them to get away from you. They don't know what they're talking about. I like the parents, but some of them think that they're, you know, they should be coach, and of course, no, they shouldn't. And it all adds up to a very, very difficult day. So it's a hard one. But I would love to be able to tell the players.
So you want to counsel them to go ahead and stick people. That's what you're basically saying. Because
I would like them to know that that's their option, yeah, but I can't do that.
Let me play this as, I forget who this is. Well, yeah, I know who it is. It's Greg Williams, but I don't know which cut this is. Here is Greg Williams in the locker room talking to his players. This is before the San Francisco 49er playoff game.
We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we're going to kill the kid. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early, affect the head.
Affect the head.
Continue. touch and hit the head. They're going to come in. They're going to be shocked with our contact.
So that's him saying to hit someone in the head.
That's absolutely correct, because that's where the decision, that's where the human body, obviously, is making its decisions and making its calculations. And so you want to hit that man in the head.
And you want to hit him in the head to the point where he's got a concussion.
Well, I didn't hear him say that. Just saying, you know, hit the head.
At the high school level, too?
At the high school level, you would advise them to do that, too. But, see, I can't talk about it here because there's a lot of, as I said, nosy parents who don't understand, Phil. It isn't that they don't want the best. They just don't get it.
All right, here, let me play one more here. This is, this is him talking about Frank Gore, the running back for the 49ers, telling them to go after Gore's head.
We've got everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Yeah.
We want him running sideways.
See that?
We
want
his head sideways.
Yes, right there.
32.
Hold on.
The one not to he has no idea what he's in for. When he's on the sideline, we got to turn that over, turn the coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that on the sideline.
Who's 32?
I don't know. It could be Frank Gore, but did you hear that? That is a coach telling his defensive players what it's all about. And if you wouldn't mind, if you could play it again, Phil, because I want to give people a sense of what's going on there. You're hearing the coach there.
We've got everything in the world
right
to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Right there, you left, yeah.
We want him running sideways.
Yeah.
We want his head
there.
Sideways.
There you go, there you go.
Little 32.
Yeah.
The one not to
that's right. That's
he
right.
He has no idea what he's in for.
That's right. Yeah.
He's
right.
On the sideline.
Yeah.
We got to turn
look.
That over.
Yeah.
Turn the coaches over.
That's right.
Turn the spectators over.
All right, but it sounds like you're enjoying.
Hold on. You're talking in the middle of it.
And it sounds like you're enjoying it.
Of course, you're not enjoying it. You're listening to a coach. And by the way, whoever put those beeps in there, my ears are starting to bleed. You know, but whoever, I got to tell you, you enjoy listening to a coach do his thing. Know what he's doing, giving his players the game plan, telling his players what's up, and going for it. And that's what you hear there. That's what you hear from that coach. So when I say that I wish I could coach my high school players like that, I do, but I can't.
But you said that you are at the high school level and not at the pro level because the pros just, it's not a good game for you because you've got a lot of revolutionary ideas. See, the reason why I'm bringing this up is, first of all, even at the pro level, they don't like that kind of coaching.
No, I know they don't like that kind of coaching, and I don't think that, I'm not even saying they shouldn't have fined him. I'm just saying that as an old-fashioned coach, you know, you just, you like to hear it. I don't think there's a football coach out there that would disagree with me when he says, when I hear a coach coaching like that, boy, I love it. I love to hear a coach tell you what you got to do. Go after him. If you got to take his head off, you got to take his head off. If you got to take his knee out, you got to take a knee out. If you got to lay him out so he never gets up again, I'm being extreme.
So he never gets up again.
No, I'm being extreme, but that's what you got to do. You got to get them in the mindset. And I'd love to talk to my players because I got these high school kids, and some of them, you know, it's. I have to be honest with you, Phil. They come to the football stadium fresh from their mother's, you know, hot breakfast or whatever. And I'm not complaining about the parents, but boy, they soften these kids up, man. And by the time they get over to me, they have gone from being, you know, a young man that you can talk to. They get to their parents, and the parents just soften them up. And by the time they get over to our football field, there's not a whole hell of a lot left of them. You know,
well, what does that mean? You mean they're mama's boys or they're...
Well, they're not mama's boys, but they just... You got to beat on them and just get them out there and make them bleed a little bit. And it's getting tougher and tougher. With every passing year, the kids that come into our program at Belmar Academy football program, they're wimpier, smaller, softer, more scared, more dumb.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier here. And we're talking about the Greg Williams tape advising his players before the 49er game to start beating on people. We'll be right back with more. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry show here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy as we're talking about Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints and eventually got booted from the team. The team was fined because he was paying bounties.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of the idea of paying bounties?
Well, again, that's a professional game, you know, and that's what you got to do. Now, I will tell you that...
Yeah, but it's in violation of the rules of the league.
I understand it's in violation of the rules of the league. I get all of that. I understand all of that, okay? But I don't think anybody at the league level understands how this game is played. I don't think anybody at the league level understands that when you get out on the field and you have a job to do, even at the high school level, you got a job to do.
And what job does a high school player have to do?
What job does a high school player have to do? He's got to get out there and win that game because that's what we're there for. That's our job. That's what he's getting. He's not getting paid, but that is what he's going to do. He's going to get out and win that. He's got to do what he has to do. It's not professional. You're right, and I do sometimes wish I was a professional coach. If for no other reason than I wouldn't have to listen to these parents and all these people second guess. I'm just saying, this is the game. And the league, I don't know who infiltrated the league to turn the league office into this place where they've got this touchy-feely attitude about life, you know, where it's probably more touchy-feely over there at the NFL head office that actually men, real men, sitting down and getting something done for the day. I don't care. Even if it's just ordering lunch, I'd like to see three men show up at the NFL office on any given day and do a man's work as opposed to sitting around and holding hands and figuring out how they can appease a couple more touchy-feely, you know.
We are talking about people getting injured here, Coach. We are talking about...
I understand that, Phil.
No, but you know, and so it isn't just so much a man's work as it's... We're talking... You know, look at this bounty thing. How many times have we seen a man rolled off a field on a stretcher or in a wheelchair as the result of some of these hits? That's all I'm saying. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. And here is Tomiko. Hello, Tomiko. You're on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I want to ask a question. Do you have any kids, Mr. Dozier?
Do I have kids? I have no kids. No, I do not at this time have kids. No, ma'am. I've been married twice. My first wife was unable.
Okay, the reason why I ask because I'm a nursing student, and I see a lot of kids coming through the ER after partaking in some kind of contact sport, and they come in with all kinds of traumas from, you know, playing football or whatever, and it's really sad to tell a parent that their child may not walk again because of a coach told them to get out on the field and be aggressive, force another player.
Well, you know, I'm sorry that, you know, I like talking to you, Tamika. I'm sorry that Mr. Henry took your call on the air, though, because you and I should talk off the air before you are on the air scaring people, because that's what you're doing. You're scaring.
Well,
Why can't she give that information?
Well, I think her just coming on and saying, "Hi, I'm a nurse, and let me tell you what I've seen," and scaring people half to death with stories out of the ER. I mean, good Lord, you know.
No, she's saying what she saw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see this to make it. I don't think she was graphic.
Well, did you say something about how they get their heads bashed in or something? I don't know, but what I'm saying. Yes, ma'am. I don't know.
I want to hear what she has to say because she's speaking from the standpoint of a nurse.
Well, actually, I'm a nursing student now.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of the
you've seen this. Yeah.
With these
yeah.
traumas from head injuries, and also is football that important? Where you want to hurt somebody? Where they possibly could lose their life? Is it that serious? Football.
Well, to make I would say this to you, ma'am. You know, when you get out on the field and it's either you or him standing between you and a big, maybe the biggest payday of your life. Maybe that money means that you are going to finally pull yourself up out of a sewer you've been living in your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do, okay, I'll say it, all you have to do is cripple that man across from you.
Cripple him?
I don't think that I want that money that bad.
Can I tell you what Deacon Jones, here's something to me. Deacon Jones said this. Deacon Jones is one of the greatest defensive players in the history of pro football. He came up at a time when black players were just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And Deacon Jones said something that I always remembered. He said, right across the line from me was a white man. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I could show that man what kind of a man I was. And I did everything in my power to rip his head off, tear his throat out.
Well, okay. I mean, well, you're bringing up a racial thing here.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the same thing.
Well, yeah, but now we're living in the year 2011 or 2012.
2012. You must have taken a hit off the head. Don't
2012. And we're talking about young people. That's what the lady is saying here. Forget about Deacon Jones and all of these, the pros.
I'm telling you, there's a job to do. I understand the lady. And I don't tell my kids anything, but I just wish once I could stand there in a locker room and say to those kids, go out there, and if you have to gouge someone's, well.
God! All right,
Tamika,
thank you very much for your call, and I hope that the good work you guys do in the emergency room doesn't get lost on a lot of these people. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
877-876-PHIL is the number.
What do you mean lost on these people? You didn't want me to be racial. And
I'm not being racial. I said lost on football players and football coaches. I don't understand you bringing up Deacon Jones.
I'm bringing up Deacon Jones because there's a lot of people that want to say to me, gee, Coach, you're being a bad guy saying this stuff. Well, what if I told you that Deacon Jones thought that way because for the first time in his life, he's looking across the line at a white man, and he could do anything he wanted to him. You see, there was a time, Phil, when a black man looking at a white man and thinking violent thoughts, that could get his ass thrown in jail or worse. But now, professional football allowed that man to look across that defensive line, stare right into that guy's eyes, and say, you know what I think I'm going to do today? Just for relaxation, just, you know, maybe for a change of pace, I think I'll reach up under the helmet and rip that guy's throat out. And
oh, come on, man. Who thinks that? Why would you take it there?
I'm telling you it's true. Tell me I'm not telling you the truth.
I don't know. I don't know what a player is going to say or to himself or to anybody else. I understand that there are certain violent thoughts that are going to be used as motivational, as some kind of a motivation by players, regardless of the times, regardless of whether the man is living in a time of racial discrimination, whether he's living today. But we're talking about here a coach who is sanctioning violence with money.
Okay, let's talk about that.
All right, and we're talking about a coach sanctioning violence with money and saying, you guys go out there and I'll give you $500, $1,000, $2,000, what have you, if you go out and you cripple a guy or you knock him out of the game or you give him a concussion or you go after a guy's injury, as you heard this guy, Williams, saying, talked about Vernon Davis, go after Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis had an injury, go after that guy. Go after Alex Smith, you know, we banged him up in the preseason game. He's scared. Go after him. You know.
All right, let's talk about that. You want to talk about it? I'd love to talk about that. What if I'm a coach and I'm standing there among my players and I say to those guys, hey, listen, let me tell you guys something. There's some guys on the other team, and they've made comments about your girlfriends and your mothers.
And you're lying.
All right, let's say I'm lying. Now, I don't have to say go out there and rip a man's throat out.
Yeah, but you know what the effect of that is going to be is exactly the same thing.
All I'm telling you is that these guys on the other side of the football field made comments about your mothers and your daughters and your sisters and what they'd like to do with them. Now, I haven't told them to do anything.
Well, Coach, come on.
No, hold on. I haven't told them to do anything. All I said was, by the way, the quarterback over there, and maybe I'll point to a defensive lineman named Smith. You, Smith, that quarterback, he said he got one look at your mama, and he had some dirty thoughts. Now,
well, have you ever done that with high school players?
I can't comment on that.
So you have. So you haven't counseled them to be violent?
I haven't counseled them to be violent, no.
You've just said things that the other guy said.
I can't comment on that. I can't comment on that. But I will tell you this. As I said, every time I leave and I look across the field and I see Dozier Stadium, I will think about some of those things, like that sign up there that says Dozier Stadium. Why? Because I told my players that the opposition wanted to do things with their sisters.
And that's why you...
Yeah, that's why I have that sign sometimes.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. With Coach Vernon Dozier here. We'll play those clips one more time from Coach Greg Williams.
You think I'm kidding, don't you?
No, I don't think you're kidding. No, I don't. I'm a little bit stunned, that's all.
I am not counseling violence, Phil.
Well, again, I think when you say to somebody, those guys over there want to do stuff with your sisters. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're wrapping up here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, a football coach, high school football coach, though, but still a football coach, talking about Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints, who was, as you know, fined and eventually fired by the team for comments that he made advising his players, basically instructing his players to injure San Francisco 49ers prior to a playoff game. And we're going to listen to some of these comments one more time, Vernon.
I'd like people to pay attention to Coach Williams. I know what your feelings are, Phil, and I respect that. But I want people to pay attention to Coach Williams because he's talking right here. Which cut are you going to play?
I'm going to play, well, I've basically got two. One mentions Gore, and the other I think is just a general.
Okay, yeah, in the first cut here, you're just going to listen to him lay out the facts of life. And again, you know, it's tough for me to say I don't like this. As a coach, I got to tell you, I love it. I love it, but I can't say that I love it. I would love to advise my players on the high school level, but I can't because then I'm going to get, you know, I'll tell you what happens, Phil, is you get a lot of them want to talk to their mama, you know. And
well, I mean, but they're high school players.
I know they're high school players, but my job, one of my jobs is to tell them, okay, now you're young men, I know that you're still living at home, and I know that your mommy, you know, she's going to come with a pack of lunch, or she's got you know how a lot of the kids will bring in a Tupperware, and they got this one kid brought in, I don't know what it was, applesauce cake. You know what that is?
I don't know, no, why?
What do you mean, why?
I don't know, Vernon, is that important?
Yes, because what I'm saying to you is these kids come in with what mama, you know. And
okay, so you're saying they're mama's boys.
No, they're not mama's boys so much as they're just used to having something from... There is an umbilical still reaching out. So when they come into my locker room and they still got applesauce cake, that has to be, and I say this with the greatest respect, but I've got to destroy that. I've got to destroy it. I've got to take a flamethrower to it. Otherwise, they're never going to be men. They're always going to be guys, you know, in life. They're going to walk everywhere with a bag from mama, you know. And
you say the name or the word mama in a very mocking way, though, don't you?
I don't. Well, no, but...
You do. You say mama. I mean, aren't these guys, they are young men. They're under 18. They're still developing.
Well, they're still developing, but they want to be taken seriously. These guys come into the locker room. They want you to take them serious.
Yeah. Well, they may want a lot of things. There's a lot of things that kids want, and some of them they get and some of them they don't. And
well, okay, Phil, but have you ever been a coach?
No, but I've been a parent. What I'm trying to say to you, I'm not trying to tell you how to coach, you know.
I'm just telling you, I had a kid come into my locker room the other day, and he gets out his Tupperware, and I said, what is that? Because I didn't know what it was. I looked inside. I picked it up. I tried to figure out what it was. He said, well, Coach, why don't you open it up? And I said, okay, smartass, you know. And
why is that smartass?
Well, I mean, it was trying to make me sound like I'm an idiot because I can't tell what he's bringing in for lunch from his mama, you know. And
there you go again.
With what?
The way you say mama, mama.
Well, Phil, I think you're a little hypersensitive, but what I'm trying to tell you is this.
I don't think so.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. I opened it up, and I looked at it. I said, I still don't know what this is. The kid's name is Sherman. I said, I don't know what this is, Sherman. He said, it's applesauce cake. And I said, I took the Lord's name in vain, and I shouldn't have, and I said, G-D, you know, I said, you know, when's it going to end? And I walked away.
All right, well, let me listen to...
To you, you blow it off, but to me, it's significant.
Let's listen to this tape here. This is Greg Williams from the New Orleans Saints.
We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage, and we're going to kill the kid. Every single one of you, before you get off the pile, affect the head. Early, affect the head. Continue, touch and hit the head. They're going to come in. They're going to be shocked with our contact.
Okay, so there he is talking about affecting the head, touch the head.
Exactly, exactly. That's what you have to do. That's where, as I said to you earlier, Phil, that's where the decisions are made. And if we had more of that mentality in football, I wouldn't have guys coming in with applesauce cake. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You know, I know it sounds smart-ass, and I know that you don't quite get it. But
bringing in applesauce cake, I don't see how that... here is the second cut.
You don't see how a guy comes in and he's got...
Let me just go to cut number two.
All right, fine. But I can't believe a guy brings applesauce cake into my locker room.
He brings applesauce cake into your locker room and what?
And he brought it into my locker room.
All right, here is cut number two talking about Frank Gore and what they want to do to him.
We've got everything in the world to make sure we kill Frank Gore's head.
Yeah, I like
we
this.
We want him yep. running sideways.
Yeah.
We want his head
yeah.
sideways.
Yeah. Now, you hear that? Yeah, I love
he
it.
He has no idea what he's in for.
I love it.
When he's on the sideline, we got to turn that over, turn the coaches over, turn the spectators over, go get that on the sideline.
I love that, Phil. I'll tell you why I love that. I love it because it's the truth. That's what you got to do. And you're not going to win football games waiting around for man.
All right, Coach. Well, unfortunately, the reality is it's the system and whatever else you want to call it, the public opinion, the what parents want, it's all working against you. And
I know it's working against me. Tell me about it. I know that. There's not a football coach in America that doesn't know it's not working against him.
Well, but I'm saying that that the injuries that this can bring, even at the professional level, you know, we often talk about injuries among kids and among little leaguers and Pop Warner and high school players and so on. But this is the professional level saying this stuff's out of hand and we can't do it anymore.
I think that what's happened, Phil, is that we have left a period where, you know, we went out onto a football field. And
you've seen players taken off on gurneys. You've seen players taken off on stretchers. You've seen players in wheelchairs for the rest of their lives. You saw what happened to Daryl Stingley. How could you say that that is a part of the game?
Just is. It just is, Phil.
And you're willing to accept that?
Phil, there's only a very few. There's only a handful of us that can actually play and coach this game. It's a very special game. There's only a handful of us. I'm listening to you tonight, and I can pretty much tell you, you ain't one of them.
Okay, fine. I take that as a compliment.
Okay. Maybe you do. There's probably a whole lot of men out there that are just like you. They just ain't got it. That's why football is only played by a handful of people. Very special people. That's why you've only got, in the National Football League, maybe 3,000 players, tops. I understand what you're saying. I know it scares you. I know it makes you weak in the knees. I know you want to, you know, lose your mud or however you want to say it.
I just don't think it's a good way to conduct yourselves trying to injure somebody when the whole point is to win the game.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't.
All right, fine. But, you know, there's also parents out there that don't want to keep score. There's also people out there that think we ought to get rid of rules. There's people out there that want to just, they want to take all of the guts out of life. And it makes me sick. It makes me real sick. I'm Vernon Dozier.
What?
Is that it?
No, we're still on the air.
But why did they tell me? I told the guy that I wanted to lock out with I'm Vernon Dozier and then music.
Oh, I forgot.
You forgot.
What do you mean lock out with Vernon Dozier and then music?
What was going to happen is he's going to say I'm Vernon Dozier.
And then you were going to lock out with music.
That was the plan, yeah. That thing they play in NFL football, that's what I wanted to hear. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know that? What is this? Oh, here it is here. Okay. I'm Vernon Dozier.
No, this isn't it. This is my bumper music.
All right, this is the last time I'm ever on your program. It's the last time I ever talked to that guy with the plate in his head.
Don't ever make promises, bud, without talking to me.
I told the guy...
Don't ever make promises without talking to me. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Oh, baby.